This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Police Off the Cuff, Real Crime Stories. I'm your host, retired NYPD Sergeant Bill Cannon, a 27-year veteran of the NYPD. You know, I just cannot get away from this Micah Miller story. The pastor's wife from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, who it appears, I said, met an untimely death by suicide. However, her family is not accepting the results of that. And, you know, frequently in death by suicide, family members don't want to accept it. And in this case, where there are so many reasons to not accept that this happened to your loved one, because on the screen, search for answers after the death of South Carolina pastor's wife, John Paul Miller, and of course, the victim, Micah Miller, who seemed like an amazing woman. And the more we dig deeper into Pastor Miller, he seems like the dirtbag of all dirtbags. You know, he just seems red flags about this guy. This guy is just, you know, all of the negative attributes you could have as a human being, this guy possesses them. And Micah Miller, trying to get her life together, filed for divorce. And then a Pandora's box of abuse, stalking, allegations against this guy, John Paul Miller, a man of the cloth. I always say that, a man of the cloth. But yet, he's not a good guy. Absolutely not. You know, and him and his attorney are trying to get out in front of this. Guess what? You can't undo things that you've done in the past. You are who you are. So when he laughingly says, "I never abused my wife," it's just an absolute joke. You're also not supposed to lie, dude. You're a pastor and you're a liar. You're a big time liar. Because we have documented proof that you've abused your wife. We have video proof that you've abused your wife. And then you stand there and then your lawyer puts out a letter. Oh, stop talking about your client's a dirtbag. You know? So he has to live with who he is now. And as for the family of Micah Miller, I really feel for them. And as I said, frequently in suicides, family members do not want to accept that this occurred. And in this case, where there's so many reasons to believe that something else happened, I really understand the way they feel. And this investigation, of course, is not over. And for those of us who have been following this, we truly hope that the FBI, along with the U.S. Attorney's Office, comes up with something that can put this guy on the right in jail, because that's where he deserves to be, you know? And even all the dirtbag things he's doing now behind the scenes, trying to move property, trying to move money. What a dirtbag and a half, you know? Do you think everyone's stupid in this world? There's not attorneys and forensic accountants that can find out what clowns like you do? You know, here he is. Again, I keep saying man of the cloth, but he knows how to protect his money, right? He knows how to protect his dead presidents. He used money against his wife. He used it to control her when she was alive. So all of these things, I wanted to sort of stress today, you know, that search for answers after the death of South Carolina pastor's wife. The family, of course, does not want to accept these findings. And we'll go over the evidence and how they feel and why they feel, and interviews with some other people. So folks, hang on to your hats, hang on to your chairs, hang on to your wig or your toupee, whatever you have. And I don't want to go there with the dentures, but hold on to everything, because you're about to enter true crime from a police perspective. You're about to enter the off-the-cuff zone, the police off the cuff.
There has to be some common sense.
Yes, sir. They have the car stopped at 10th and Grant's bike rider.
We still don't know who pulled the trigger.
Good to see everyone here today. K Me, member for 16 months. Love this channel. Justice for Micah. K Me, thank you so much for joining the channel. I see Wilesy Pony in the chat. I hope your hubby's doing well. And we said prayers for him, and it seems like it went smoothly. And I see you smiling there. I know you're always smiling anyway, but I'm glad he's going to be okay. Folks, so one of the things that you can understand in situations of suicide, no one wants to believe that their loved one took their own life. And that is a constant when you deal with this. And early on when I started this podcast, I had a great doctor named Washkel, who was an advisor to the NYPD, because the NYPD was having such problems with suicide of members of the service. And he's sort of an expert on that. And he said one thing about suicide. He said, if you've seen one suicide, you've seen one suicide. Meaning we can't apply rules to suicide and said, because of this and this and this, that means this, that means that. No, they're all different. You know, are there commonalities? Yes. But they're all different. And I thank Dr. Washkel, Stephen Washkel, for teaching me about that, because it's so important to understand it. And we're going to try to understand that in this case also. So Micah Miller called 911 on April 27th and told authorities she was about to kill herself, purchasing a gun that same day. And this was according to Robeson County Police. I'm about to kill myself, and I just want my family to know where to find me, Miller said in a call. That was 2:54 p.m., and by 3:03 p.m., deputies were sent to the Lumber River State Park where her body was found. Relatives of the 30-year-old Myrtle Beach woman had given the information Tuesday morning during a meeting with Sheriff Bernice Wilkins and other investigators. After the meeting, authorities revealed how Miller spent the final hours of her life, releasing a meticulous timeline and other pieces of evidence to substantiate the medical examiner's conclusion that Miller committed suicide. And everyone, of course, wanted to know, okay, we see the video of her purchasing the firearm at Dick's pawn shop. We hear the 911 call of her indicating an intention of killing herself. There's even at the park, there's a man fishing who hears a woman crying and he hears a gunshot. In that little body of water there, they find Micah Miller's body. They have still not told us where on the body the alleged self-inflicted gunshot wound was received, or was what they discovered when they did the investigation. They recovered the gun, and a spent shell. And they said other like live rounds on the shore and Micah's property on the shore. And then the what the family, you know, when they're doing their own little investigation with, and they're not believing this, is that they say there was, she floated downriver and they can't understand it because there was no current. So they're not really doing what's a professional investigation. And after the fact, difficult to do. And one of the, my biggest pet peeves about this case was that there was no autopsy. And I think that's unforgiving to do that in a case of a suicide. Emily Hayes, I've been suicidal because of coercive control. There seems no way out of it at the time. It is torture the way these people control. I am taking power back by knowledge. This is like a class for me. Emily, thank you for that. You know, and Emily, don't ever think of suicide as a solution to anything. It's not never, ever, ever, ever a solution. So yeah, we learn these things, but again, the family cannot accept this because there were so many red flags going on in regards to John Paul Miller, the pastor. This dude was stalking her. She had an order of protection. I didn't even realize that. I have the document that I'll show you later. He tortured this poor woman. So naturally, when you hear that she took her own life, you don't want to believe it, because she had even told friends that if something happens to me, John Paul did it. So, right, Rosalind in the chat, if she told me, she told them, if I die, it isn't my hand. So she was fully prepared to get on with a new life. She had filed for divorce. She was looking forward to her new life. She had filled up her car with gas. Those are usually not the actions of someone who intends to take their own life. They're not thinking of the future, because if they're going to take their own life, they're just thinking of the here and now. However, as Dr. Stephen Washkel said, if you've seen one suicide, you've seen one suicide. So we can't 100% draw conclusions from Micah's actions prior to that that said, oh, see, there's no way she did it because she was planning for the future. We can't just take absolutes. You can't ever look in any type of investigation with an absolute. Encyclopedia of True Crime and the Unknown. I've been in a relationship like this for many years, not knowing evil people like this existed. Been free 3 years, but was driven to suicidal attempts twice during relationship. It feels hopeless. You know, Encyclopedia of True Crime and the Unknown, I love that people in this chat reveal some of the pain in their life, because I think it's almost therapeutic. And a lot of you guys in the chat have helped each other with that. And I'm really, if I can be a conduit for that, I feel really good. Like I'm doing my job. I'm still doing my job. You know, Deb C in the chat, I heard she had journals of what he's been doing and he's looking for them. That this guy is such an absolute dirtbag. I mean, I just cannot, my disdain for this guy. And one of the things I will say right on this show, right out, anyone that goes back to that church with him as a pastor is out of their mind. You're going to follow this guy? This guy's a registered dirtbag. I mean, you cannot, I mean, I just can't, you can, you're, you are a master of your own destiny. You can do as you please. But I just cannot understand how anyone could follow this guy. The family doesn't believe Micah killed herself. Let's see, listen to Banfield here.
2 weeks ago, the investigators released a video of Micah alone buying the handgun that fired the fatal shot. And they also released that 911 call in which Micah announces her plan very calmly to the operator to kill herself, wanting the operator to know the location so her family can find her. But that is still not enough for Micah's family to accept that she and she alone, the troubled wife and apparently abusive South Carolina pastor, is responsible for her own death. The family says This new exclusive video of the exact spot where Micah died proves that she could not have shot herself, citing the lack of current that's moving the water and the position of the bullet casings. Tonight, we're also hearing from the very last person to see Micah alive. He's an employee at a gas station where Micah stopped on her way to the North Carolina park, where she was eventually found dead. News Nation's investigative correspondent Rich McHugh has been on this story and breaking a lot of leads. He joins me now with that last part. So let's talk a little, Rich, about...
You know, I just want to say something about the family doing a post-investigation on this after the Robeson County Police and the medical examiner had responded to the scene. How are they qualified? And look, I fully understand they are in trauma. They're in mourning. They don't want to believe this. But how can you just believe that the body couldn't have floated upriver? I mean, it just, there's natural movement of wind and that type of thing could move a body floating in the water. And that, you know, that's not a reason to say she didn't do it. The other thing is, how qualified are you to say where the actual shooting took place and where the spent shell was? All of those things are, you know, the crime scene people that responded should have done drawings. They should have done computer models of everything they found out. And again, I wanted to believe that she didn't do it, but I don't think you can just draw conclusions. The other thing is, and this bothered me, this dirtbag of a pastor, John Paul, he actually controlled her body after she was dead. And what was going to be done, the parent cremation, and would not allow the family to view their daughter until they signed a document agreeing to dispose of the body through cremation. And they signed it. They should have never signed it. That was the time they should have had an attorney slap a restraining order on him and not allow him to do that. So now to complain that, you know, now they're doing the investigation, it's late. It's late because they needed to. And look, they were in trauma. They were in mourning. Maybe they don't have the money to hire an attorney. But they needed to slap, a restraining order on this guy then. Because then there was no autopsy. Even the family could have hired their own pathologist to do an autopsy, but they didn't do that. So now trying to do this investigation when the most important piece of evidence, the body of Micah Miller, has been cremated, very difficult, very, very difficult. Now, so you have to, and I'm not saying that the medical examiner who responded to the scene, I'm not saying his conclusions are incorrect. They're probably correct. However, why not slam the door on any questions by doing the most thorough? And I don't know, has anyone here seen the crime scene report on this investigation? No, because it's not out. It's not released. So maybe their conclusions are 100% accurate, but they haven't released them. So this allows everyone, because of the relationship she had with this dirtbag here, John Paul Miller, it allows everyone to fill in the blanks, to look at of what he might have done in this case. And that Micah had said, if she dies, he was involved. He's even with his estate. You look up on the screen, Micah Miller's estate documents claim irregularities, attempt to hide assets. So this, again, dirtbag that's never mistreated his wife, never did anything. He's a wonderful guy. He's trying to hide his assets now. Yeah, we believe you, Reverend. Hide your assets from your wife who committed suicide over you. You caused her to do this. And now, you know, you're putting messages out there with your attorney and yourself, PR, you know, I never mistreated my wife. But there's documents that show that you did. This video that showed that you did. So stop lying. Stop lying.
the video that you have of that exact spot where Micah was found dead. Last night you showed us the fisherman and the exact spot where he found her things, and it is not the same as where her body was found. What is significant about the spot where her body was found?
Well, this is a video that was provided by her family to us, and it basically shows, if you're looking at the video on screen left at the very top of the video, this is where authorities say were the shell casings, multiple shell casings, and a live round, and where she ultimately took her life. Where the flowers are downstream, this is not even a stream, this is stagnant water. That is where her body was found. And her family's position is that, look, this water is not moving. This is stagnant. There's no way her body came all the way down from up on the screen left all the way down to over here. Now, there is a way,
and it's called the wind, and it's called the currents can even, as they say, there's no current, but even in water that's stagnant, you're not get for the most part, stay in one place unless you sink to the bottom. So I don't know who is telling them that, but that's where it's not a real accurate way to look at things. Now, one of the things that I'm a little bit concerned with, and it probably can be explained too, why was there a live round on the ground? Is it possible that Micah slid the slide back, thus ejecting a round to make sure the gun was cocked before she pulled the trigger? That's an explanation from how a live round could have got out on the ground. One of the things, and also consistent with suicide, if it's a suicide, there should just be one shot, obviously, because if it's the kill shot, and I hate to be this graphic, but I one time went to a suicide of a 15-year-old boy, and we were concerned because there was two gunshots, and he chickened out the first one, and he pulled the gun away. The second one, he did it. It was horrible. Some horrible 15-year-old kid. He broke up with his girlfriend, 15 years old. And guess where he did it? In the stairwell on the floor where his girlfriend lived. So to a 15-year-old, or to anyone in trauma, that made sense. He wanted her to see all the pain she was causing him, you know. So I'm just talking about in the investigation of suicides. And again, if you've seen one suicide, you've seen one suicide. Go back to the investigation here.
Still don't know where in relation to this, to what we, where we were last night outside in the boat, where exactly this is and where this part meets. But this is deep into this area, this cypress forest that the family walked there. They said that they, to get there, you had to walk through knee deep water for 20 to 30 feet, talk to her friends. They said Micah would not do this. She was wearing her work outfit. None of this makes sense. The family's saying, look, this is evidence that she did not, they believe this is staged. She did not take her life, Ashley.
It's fascinating. I keep saying the same thing. I would never wade into something like that. I'd be afraid of gators or critters or something, or filth.
This is gator country.
But then again,
this is gator and snake country.
Right. Yeah, and not only that, but, you know, it would just be, look, I get it. If you're going to take your own life, maybe you're not thinking rationally anyway, would be the argument against that. But it does seem so odd to wander out into that bayou, like body of water, to ultimately take your life. So let's...
You know, but you guys, for my own thoughts here, can you assign a rational mind, rational actions to someone who's about to take their life? So when we try to reason and say, oh, this doesn't make any sense, well, it doesn't make any sense to take your own life either, does it? Does it make any sense to do that? So why are we assigning, at least in the case of Banfield here, Jana Porter, on the live round, why would she cock the gun to make for sure it was loaded? She just loaded it. Now someone who was there with her could have done that, you think? Makes more sense. Jana Porter, look, if you know anything about semi-automatics, and you probably know a lot about guns, I'm not saying you don't, but you can put the magazine into the gun and the gun won't fire. And the term for that is out of battery. The gun's out of battery. So, I mean, obviously what I was trained to do in the police department was slide the slide back, lock it there, and then slap the magazine in.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code POD to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code POD at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code POD.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
And the slide goes forward, there's immediately a round in the chamber. I don't know what Micah's experience was with guns. So maybe, you know, people watch TV all the time. And the dramatic thing on TV when someone's going to shoot, there was like, ksh-ksh. But anyone knows that, and knows anything about guns, you would never carry the gun uncocked with a semi-automatic. Stupidity, because if you're involved in something where you may have to use that gun immediately, you don't want to take that 1, 2, 3 seconds it takes to put the slide back and make sure the gun is cocked and fully ready to go. So that's and I'm just giving a possibility of how that live round got on the ground. How do we know that when Micah took her own life, she didn't wade out into the water? We don't know that. All we know is the fisherman who was on the scene that heard a female crying and then he heard a gunshot wound. He's not the one that found the body. He found her property on the shore, but he's not the one that found the body. So all of these conjectures after the fact, we don't know. We don't know for sure. So we can make up stuff, but we got to go with the professionals that responded to the scene.
Let's talk about the other unique information that you learned, and that is that Micah stopped for gas, which again is odd. Why would you fill up your tank if your plan was to take your life moments later? But she stopped for gas and she stopped to get a drink before she ended up in that park. And you've been able to speak to the person who might be the last person to speak with her and see her alive.
Yeah, so this is in Mullins, South Carolina, which is about, I believe, about 40 minutes from here. It's also out of the way from if you're going a straight line to get to this state park in North Carolina. But I went there. I talked to the owner. I asked him, you know, what she did. She basically came there for 10 or 15 minutes. He said she got an energy drink. But let's hear it. Let's hear it in his own words.
Her car was parked over here.
Yep.
And she used the restroom and pull up and just come around and pull up over here to this pump.
That's where she got gas.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And she was here about like 10 or 15 minutes?
Somewhere there.
Okay.
I mean, if you look at the video, it tells all the time, you know, how long she stayed.
Yeah.
I can say about approximately 10, 15 minutes.
And nothing struck you as unusual?
Nothing. Not at all.
Was she, did she look like she was waiting for somebody here?
No. Not at all. She got the drink, came outside, used the restroom, the party potter, got her gas, and she was left.
Just an ordinary day.
Nothing special, nothing, you know, like just regular day, regular thing.
Now, there's several things that are weird about this, Ashley. Number one is that it's in Mullen, South Carolina, which if you go from here, Myrtle Beach, to Lumber River State Park, it's like 25 minutes out of the way additionally. So why go there, number one, if you're going to Lumber River State Park? Number two, there's this discrepancy about receipts. People have compared receipts from the day she bought her gas and this energy drink. There were two different receipts. People don't realize that. There's not one, there's two. One for $25. They said they got a new receipt machine days later, and people are kind of losing their minds. He said, much ado about nothing. That is a non-issue.
Thank you for watching.
So, you know, does that make anyone feel better? I don't think so. I mean, there's, I want to read Becky Barnes from the chat. I can always learn things from you guys in the chat also. The issue is that it's also not normal to want to end your life. As someone with a failed SA, you're not thinking the way other people think. Water also in Christianity signifies washing away sins. Becky, what I'm saying is that Micah was in tremendous mental health trauma. And one of the things that we all have to accept is that she called 911. And with the 911 call, she said, we all know the call. Can you track my phone? Do you know where I'm calling from? And the operator, you know, was talking to her on the phone, and she figured out where she was. And then Micah told her, because I'm going to kill myself, and I want my family to be able to find me. That, I know. And then there's a lot of you out there, and you know, be suspicious. Always be suspicious. Right away, jumped to AI, artificial intelligence. You can make a call like that and use someone's voice. I know that you could do that. I've heard it's happened to people. So Sherry Murray in the chat, everything he kept doing to her always says, I'm so sorry, please come back to me. Well, isn't that the way in domestic violence cases, that the aggressor is always sorry for all the things they do, and they keep doing it though, and they think they can apologize their way out of it. But you can't apologize your way out of it. After a while, the person is not going to accept your apology, as they shouldn't. So Hella A, sorry, but I don't believe for a minute there was no SA before 18. I grew up around creepos and entertainment industry as a teenager, just saying. So Hella, you know something? I don't believe that either. I think this guy went right after her when she was 14 years old, and maybe she just didn't tell her family. All the things we're learning about this guy, I put nothing, and I'm talking about John Paul Miller, the pastor. Emily Hayes, I wonder if she was on the fence. Gun for protection, gun for suicide. When you're in that state of mind, it's easy to be impulsive. It's like the straw that broke the camel's back. If she was on the fence, maybe someone could have talked her out of it. I don't know how I didn't love the 911 operator's skills in that vein. I don't think she sensed that something bad was going on before Micah told her intention, taking her own life. And then I don't know how long the call lasted. Did Micah just hang up after that? Because that would have been the time and the place where the 911 operator would have been able to try to talk her out of it. And I don't know if she did that. But and I can't criticize it because I don't know all the facts about that. But I'm going to put a picture of the restraining order up on the screen. Let's see if we can actually get it bigger so you could see it better. The above-named defendant, John Paul Miller, the plaintiff through her attorney, Regina, will move before presiding judge of family court at the Horry County Courthouse on the fifth day after service hereof as soon as... Well, it's a whole written in legalese, of course. And she's requesting that she still has use and possession of the marital home and furnishings, and requiring defendant to be solely responsible to make timely payments as to the mortgage. So she's trying to make sure that the house that she's out of, that he's still paying for the mortgage. Granting the restraining order as to the person, property, and debt for the protection of the plaintiff as requested in the complaint. Persons restraining defendant from coming about, abusing, harming, harassing, communicating, threatening, or otherwise interfering with plaintiff. Plaintiff's immediate family members. So look, this was a restraining order issued against this guy, the Pastor Miller, who apparently never mistreated his wife, according to him. Never mistreated his wife. So why then is she getting an order of protection against you if you never mistreated her? You know, says they separated on February 6, 2024 and lived separate and apart since that time. Plaintiff states that due to irreconcilable differences that they are no longer able to remain together in the capacity of husband and wife. Plaintiff is informed and believes plaintiff is entitled to order of this court awarding plaintiff a degree of separate maintenance and support, allowing the parties to live separate and apart, and seeks an order granting such release. So obviously this is a whole order of protection, but also ordering Pastor John Paul Miller here to pay her alimony, to support her, because they're breaking up. He was pretty much the sole support. I don't know if she got paid by the church for the work she did. But he was even not doing that. So he never hurt. He never abused. He never did anything. There's so much evidence, documentary evidence and testimonial evidence, that this guy was an absolute disaster. And yet he'd have everyone believe that he's a saint, you know. When he said in his sermon, "I even tried to raise her from the dead," I knew that this guy's missing all his marbles. If he actually said that and he actually believes that, he needs some mental health help. He really does. And he can't deny saying it. It was during her memorial service, which, again, why would...
Ready to pop the question and take advantage of 30% off? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com to get 30% off select lab-grown diamonds. That's BlueNile.com for 30% off lab-grown diamonds. BlueNile.com.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
Why would anyone want him to control the memorial service? In life, Micah was trying to get the hell away from this guy. Did she really want him having control over the memorial service? If she would have had anything to say about it, I bet you would have said no. So here's more urgent search for answers in this case.
Heartbreak and questions. The death of Micah Miller, a loving daughter, friend, and estranged wife of a South Carolina pastor.
I'm still having trouble with it. I can't buy everything that happened.
Angela Clark says she was one of Micah Miller's closest friends, and she says she was one of the last people to speak to Miller before she took her own life. She's speaking out for the first time.
I talked to her Friday night. Our plan was that she was going to meet me for the second service at church on Sunday. My husband walked up to me on the stage in the middle of rehearsal. He got kind of choked up. He almost couldn't get the words out. And he said, Micah's gone. And I said, what do you mean Micah's gone? And he said, Angela, she's dead. So my question is still going to be, what happened between Friday night and Saturday that broke her?
Now, the FBI and U.S. attorney are helping the Robeson County Sheriff's Department in the investigation.
The FBI can bring a lot of expertise to the table to evaluate both cell phones, text messages, social media, relationship with her husband. You would need the U.S. Attorney's Office, for example, to subpoena phone records. You could get a search warrant. Now, you'd have to have some information that what occurred potentially fits some federal crime.
The 30-year-old calling 911 and threatening suicide moments before she was found dead at a state park in North Carolina on April 27th, about an hour north of where she lived in Myrtle Beach. Her death officially ruled a suicide. Micah's death coming just...
You know, Law, I have to stop this video because that's such a great point. It blows my mind that the person who had an order of protection against him, a court-ordered document, and her body is released to him. Married or not, doesn't make sense. Law, 100%. I so agree with you. You're right. She has an order of protection against this dirtbag, and her body gets released to him. That makes no sense to me. There should be some kind of connection there that, no, she's getting divorced. She wants nothing to do with this guy. Why was he allowed to be the one who was the recipient and controlled what happened with her body? Makes no sense at all. Lala, great point.
Just days after she told a police officer she was scared for her life and adding that she found a GPS tracker on her car and was being followed. She had filed for divorce last October. Her husband, John Paul Miller, was a pastor at a local church. He first announced his wife's death at the end of a church service, which was live streamed.
I got a call late last night. My wife has passed away. Yeah, it was self-induced. I'm sure there'll be more details to come.
He has since been released from his duties for a time of healing, counsel, and guidance, but previously had also spoken at a memorial service about Micah.
I've been down with her body about four times this week, and each time it still didn't hit me. I thought she was going to wake up, you know. I even tried to raise her from the dead.
That quote right there just kills me. It just rips my brain out of my skull. I even tried to raise her from the dead. Are you kidding me, dude? Did you actually just say that? Are you out of your mind? He obviously is if he said that, you know. I even tried to raise her from the dead. Who would follow this dude? Anyone? Anyone going to follow him? Any of you guys in the chat want to go to this church and be preached to by this dude? I don't think so.
Images released from authorities show Micah the day of her death leaving her house, buying a gun, stopping at a gas station near the park, and then making a call to 911.
Hi, are you able to trace the location of my phone?
Micah posting shortly before her death, please share this with anyone struggling with leaving a dangerous situation.
God hates divorce because it hurts people. But does abuse hurt people? How do you think God feels about that?
And this was her last Facebook post. When terrible, terrible, terrible things happen to you, y'all know what I'm talking about. RPF, resting peace face. Miller telling ABC News he didn't have anything to do with his wife's death. He never abused her.
That quote right there, he never abused her. He was, you know, that just kills me because there's all kinds of evidence to the contrary.
He took care of her as best he could. Angela says she and Micah had connected several weeks earlier after Micah reached out and told her about what she says had been going on in her marriage to Pastor John Paul.
It was really disturbing abuse. There was every kind of abuse you can name. Spiritual abuse, financial abuse, sexual abuse. The emotional abuse, the physical abuse. I couldn't wrap my head around it.
Angela says it seemed that Micah was getting her life back on track after separating from John Paul.
You could see some light coming back into her eyes. And, you know, she was in the Word. She was in the Scripture. She was getting counseling. She was doing all the right things. And I saw an excitement in her.
Angela says that excitement made it so hard for her to process, even after visiting the state park where Micah's body was found.
It was extremely heavy feeling walking that path. All I could think was, gosh, what was she thinking in these moments?
For Micah's family, they say they are grateful for everything everyone has done to help, adding that they are aware of the FBI's involvement, but have no personal knowledge of the nature of any FBI investigation and therefore no comment. As the search for answers continues, Angela says she hopes Micah will be remembered not for her death, but for her life.
Micah was a bright light. She loved God. She loved people. She was adventurous. She had the sweetest soul. She said, at this point in my life, I should have listened to God. And I don't think he intended me to be a pastor's wife. He intended for me to be a missionary. And that's what I'm going to do. I wish she was still here because she could have done so much good.
Sad, you know, sad, sad story. But the more we hear, the more layers of this onion they peel away, the more, look, I don't question the ruling by the medical examiner and the determination by the Robeson County police that this was a self-inflicted gunshot wound. I do question how it was allowed to get that far, that the abuse that John Paul Miller piled upon her day after day and week after week, and nothing was ever done to him. That's the part that I think needs a lot more investigation, because he was allowed to get away with this and he was never arrested. He should have been arrested numerous times. Becky Barnes, when you get out of abuse, that you experience abuse and stalking, Getting a divorce does not make the PTSD go away. Much like grief, the waves can come out of nowhere. Becky Barnes, thank you for volunteering that information. Folks, this is Police Off the Cuff, real crime stories. If you like real crime, true crime from a police perspective, then you're in the right place. And if you're not subscribed to us, go on our YouTube, hit that subscribe button, give us a thumbs up, ring that bell, hit the like button, share us with your friends and your family. If you want to contribute to us financially, we have a Patreon with four different levels, and we also have a YouTube channel membership with, count them, five different levels. Our channel members have been going up a great deal lately. I really appreciate that, all you people, new faces, new people in our audience that have been become little off the cuffers, little police off the cuffers, and we appreciate every single one of you. And also getting the word out and sharing our channel, sharing us with your friends and your family. This is such a tragic, tragic case. And what you know, the question is, well, where do we go from here? Will they ever prove that this was not a self-inflicted gunshot wound? I think the determination by the Robeson County Police, and now with the FBI and the U.S. attorney involved in the investigation, they will go over those findings with a fine-tooth comb. But let's not forget, one of the things they can never do is they can never do an autopsy because the body was cremated. And to me, I think that was a really big mistake. I want to just put this up on the screen. Again, this is about the pastor and the abuse claims are just absolutely false. How could they even think that?
I want to stop here and bring in News Nation's national correspondent, Rich McHugh. He knows a lot about these cases and how to investigate them. You may not know this, but Rich McHugh was Ronan Farrow's producer when they broke the Harvey Weinstein story. Okay, so Rich, the biggest issue has been all along the police reports about Micah saying that she was being harassed by someone repeatedly. Someone had put razors in her tire, a deflation device, a tracking device, had chased her from a gas station to a car dealership, and the name was redacted. And tonight you have information about that redacted name. Who is it?
Well, we're going to show you a piece of video in just a moment, Ashley. First, some context, though, is that you gave some of it. Ashley, we FOIA'd these police documents. There's about a dozen of them. And this one document from March 11th paints a picture. And if we have video of that police document, I want to quote from it. So when we see the actual video, we can make sense of it. In the police document, the police officer writes that he was at East Coast Honda in Myrtle Beach in reference to harassment that Micah was getting her tire fixed after it was slashed, that she told the officer the tracking device was on her car, that the suspect showed up, quote, she told him to go away, but she does not want to talk. And then when she pulled up,
perhaps he didn't get arrested because of his political connections, the powerful position he had in that community. And does that happen? Yeah. His ass should have been arrested a couple of times. And it wasn't. Was it because he was the pastor of that church? Was it because of the power of that church? Was it potentially that some of the police officers were congregants of that church? I don't like the way that looks.
Letter phone to record. He sped off. The victim said he leaves and comes back. That appears to be the moment we're about to show you. Roll the tape if we have it.
Walk away.
I'll show you the pictures.
Do you want to go to jail?
They'll be on Facebook in a few hours.
So this dirtbag who you're just seeing there that never abused, never stalked, never. Here he is stalking his wife, right? And there he is threatening, not just threatening, he did it. He put naked photos of her on Facebook. There's Pastor John Paul Miller, who never did a thing like this, is a stand-up guy. He's a great guy. He's a man of the cloth. He's a dirtbag extraordinaire, this guy.
All righty, you'll be in jail in a few hours. Walk away.
Now, that moment is, it shows, it's a window into everything that we've kind of been guessing between these two, the struggles that they've been having for the previous 2 years, it sounds like. But in the weeks leading up to her death, there were multiple police reports. And this was one of those contentious days where police were called twice. And this video kind of shows the nature of the relationship in that very moment. Now,
you know, my questions are here. Okay. The police were called. They had these reports. Why was he not arrested? Right? I explained a couple of times in family and domestic violence cases, I put this acronym in the chat. And the acronym, I still remember these things, HADARM. That's the acronym. And it stands for harassment, first or second degree, attempted assault and assault, third degree. D is for disorderly conduct. A is for assault, second degree. R is for reckless endangerment. And the M is for menacing. So absolutely harassment. He's harassing the shit out of her, right? That's a violation. She's got an open report for this. Why was he not arrested? And that, I know, I could say that ad nauseum. He obviously had some juice and prevented himself from getting arrested. He should have been arrested. Could have an arrest prevented this suicide? You bet it could have. Put this jackass in jail a night or two, and he's going to stop harassing her. He's going to stop stalking her. He's going to behave himself. You know, it's laughable to me how now he's trying to hide the assets of the marriage. Yeah, dude, you're a stand-up guy. You're a good guy, you know? So even in death, you're trying to torture this poor lady. Even in death. Natalie James, thank you for the $4.99 super sticker. Good to see you. Thank you for supporting the show. Let me get back to this from Banfield.
It's worth saying, he has not been charged with anything. Police have ruled this a suicide. So this is just context for an extremely troubled relationship, Ashley.
Thank you for...
Can they... But, you know, a lot of you guys have asked me, can they build a case... a case against him now? I think what the FBI may be doing is, if they can't get you for one thing, they may be looking at something else. Irregularities in the church, other complaints against the pastor. Because I think because she is dead, and, you know, of course, it seems as if it was from a self-inflicted gunshot. I don't think that they can build a case for him to charge him with anything relative to her suicide. He drove her to it. Maybe in a civil court, they could do something about that. But I don't think in a criminal court that they're going to have a chance to charge him with anything. And again, the family really believes that this just does not add up.
We're hearing from family and friends of Micah Miller, the pastor's wife in South Carolina, whose death has been making national headlines. Miller's body found in a North Carolina state park. Authorities say she died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Her family and friends tell News Nation they do not believe that she died by suicide. They say they have video to prove it. Investigative correspondent Rich McHugh has the exclusive details.
Good morning, Adrian. The case of Micah Miller here in Myrtle Beach has so many unanswered questions, but the video you're about to see raises even more questions for Micah Miller's family.
Deep inside Lumber River State Park, after an extensive hike and through a stretch of knee-deep water, is this desolate backcountry where authorities say Micah Miller took her own life. This is video her family filmed when they visited.
The theory of suicide does not add up to me, because you're telling me her body floated all the way down this stagnant water. And her belongings were all the way up here. We had to walk down a trail, a separate trail, climb through all this mud and trees and fallen debris to even get to where her body was down the water. It's not like she could have, you know, left her belongings mm-hmm. and walked down the water and then committed mm-hmm. suicide down here. And then somehow bullets and everything stayed over there.
So the bank where the bird boxes and stuff are is where the shell casings and stuff were found. And the gun was found forward of that right in the water. And then her body was about 40 meters away. And the water doesn't flow at all. There's no way she would have floated 40 meters away from the edge. It is as if she was placed there.
In surveillance footage we obtained through the Freedom of Information Act, you can see her leaving home, buying a gun, and stopping at this remote gas station. I went there and spoke with the owner. He saw Micah Miller that day.
Did she look like she was waiting for somebody here?
No.
Not at all. She got the drink, came outside, used the restroom. The party fought up, got her gas, and she was left.
Just an ordinary day.
Nothing suspicious, nothing, you know, like just regular day, regular thing.
She texted me again at 3:47 and said, "Are you singing this Sunday? I'll be at second service." And
Now's the time to save 30% on wedding jewelry, only on BlueNile.com. Make sure your wedding ring is the one with your pick of diamond and lab-grown diamond bands, all hand-finished and graded for excellence. Or surprise her with something blue she'll love for life, like a stunning pair of sapphire earrings. Blue Nile's jewelry experts are available 24/7 to help, from fit questions to style advice. Right now, get up to 30% off at BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
Said yes.
Micah's friend Angela Clark was among the last to speak with her the night before she died, making plans for Sunday, offering to help with car payments.
She said, "Okay, I'm excited to see you up there."
Despite all the surveillance, she is not buying the official ruling.
This is not somebody that's ready to end their life. This is somebody that's making plans for the weekend, right? You know, and getting her car payment made. Why do you worry about getting your car payment made? For that matter, why do you pay a lawyer $5,000 and file for divorce and have someone served? There's so many unanswered questions. I can't wrap my brain around it. There's so much that just doesn't make sense.
Her family agrees. It does not add up.
So you do not believe she took her own life?
I do not. I believe that it was all staged. I believe that the whole thing was premeditated.
It's all part of why the family hopes that the FBI is taking a deep look into this case. Adrian?
Thanks for watching, everybody.
You know, but what part of it are the FBI going to be looking at? Are they going to be looking at the suicide or to prove that it was not a self-inflicted gunshot wound, or are they going to look at, are they going to look at the church? Are they going to look at irregularities in the church because it opened up their mind and their eyes to potential improprieties with this church? Because I think if they look at the suicide and the self-inflicted gunshot wound, look, I feel so sorry for the family. I would not, if this was a family member of mine, I would not want to believe the findings of the Robeson County Sheriff's Office either. I would want to hire my own investigators to reinvestigate this. But a lot of things, the ship has sailed. You know, there's going to be, there can be no autopsy. You know, this is Micah talking. This was sort of a famous, it's been played so many times, but to see her state of mind shortly before all of these things occurred, I want to put this up on the screen and we'll hear Micah speak.
I've had a lot of women that have reached out to me about situations of abuse. And I just want to tell you what a lot of people have told me lately and reminded me, because I think I forgot. I knew, but I pushed it in the back of my head just because of my situation. But you are the bride of Christ. Before anybody else's bride, male or female, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what gender you are. Abuse is abuse. And you are the bride of Christ. And my Bible says that he took all the abuse you could think of for you so that you didn't have to live that life of slavery and bondage and pain. Jesus took it all for you. So you don't have to stay in a abusive relationship, whether that's sexual, whether that's somebody forcing you to take illegal drugs or alcohol abuse or physical abuse, psychological abuse, making you think that this is all your fault, or you're a bad mom, or you're a bad wife, or you're a bad husband, or you're not giving it your all when you know you are. God hates divorce, but why? According to everybody I've asked and the scriptures that I've found, it's because it hurts people. But does abuse hurt people? How do you think God feels about that? So I want to remind you, like a bunch of people have been reminding me lately, that I'm God's bride first. And even an earthly spouse who's a good spouse, when they know that their bride is being hurt, just imagine what an earthly spouse does. What do you think your heavenly spouse does when you're the bride of Christ and he sees his bride going through abuse and hurt? What do you think he thinks about that? So, encouragement in all this is, you are the bride of Christ first before anybody else's. And he's got you. And he sees you. And he loves you.
So we've heard that. We've heard this a few times. And again, you listen to that. Does she sound like a woman who's about to commit suicide? No. I'd say no. But again, I think she did. So I I'm not trying to take a vote on this, who thinks she committed suicide, who thinks that this was a staged suicide. I mean, we have to look at every possibility. That's what investigation is. And I don't know if a thorough investigation, because we want to say right now, well, why after the fact did they now bring the FBI in? Is it because there's been lots of complaints about this guy? Why is the FBI in after the fact? And I don't want to beat a dead horse, but why did they not do an autopsy? And I could keep harping upon that. And there's so many parts of this that would seem suspicious, but also, how did this dude, this John Paul Miller, who she had an order of protection against, was going through a divorce against, had filed 14 police reports, how was he allowed to have control of her body after she was dead? That's a question I have. You know, Banfield had Geragos on. And, you know, when you talk about a defense attorney, they're always looking at ways that, they didn't do it, you know. And he also wanted to believe that this was no suicide. It was a staged suicide. But all of the factors let's listen to Geragos.
If the police had not come out and said that, look, we've got license plate pictures, screen grabs that we've taken from the toll road. We have an alibi of where he had spent the night. He wasn't even in the jurisdiction. And frankly, I was talking with your producer about it. If there wasn't the demonstrable evidence that she had purchased the gun, he would be, you know, if not in custody, they would have already basically convicted him in absentia. And that's the worry in these cases. You're off to the races before you even start.
Yeah, I mean, this is the picture that did it for me. She is in the pawn shop buying this gun all by herself. People jumped online saying she was forced to, probably the woman that her husband was having the affair with killed her and then made it look like a suicide and probably called 911 pretending to be her. You can't refute the fact that she was in there by herself, you know, moments before she used that gun that she's buying. Here's the other question I have for you. Are there any civil actions anywhere here? I look at the 20 minutes that it took her from the moment she walked in the door to get that gun. 20 minutes, that's all it took to get the gun, and then she used it to kill herself. And the way the husband had behaved, there are all sorts of allegations that he was emotionally abusive to her. I think there's like suggestions that, you know, she was 14 when they met and maybe not that young, not that old when they, you know, turned into a relationship. Is there any civil action, wrongful death that can flow out of the pattern of facts you've seen?
Well, you can always conjure up a cause of action. It's whether or not it's something that will stick, number one. And number two, you know, most plaintiff's lawyers work on a contingency. If there is a client who can come up with a cause of action, is there somebody who can pay? I hate to kind of rip off the Band-Aid of what civil justice is, but that is kind of the calculation.
Yeah, it is. Mark, thank you. Appreciate it. You were the first person I thought of when it comes to a case like this. It's not often that it's this kind of resolution this quickly, but I appreciate your input. Thank you.
So, you know, is there a civil action? And I think there potentially is a civil action against John Paul Miller and his church. Absolutely. Because he is an instrument of his church and he abused the shit out of his wife. And it's documented in 14 complaint reports, as well as video. Now, is there civil action to be had against the gun store, Dick's gun store, or the pawn shop, Dick's pawn shop, where Micah bought the gun all too quickly, it seems. We're not used to that in the North. People in the North, they want, of course, weights. They want you to have to wait. So they do a background check. In the South, you walk in and you buy a gun and you're in and out of there very quickly as compared to the North. You know, just to give you a quick aside, it's gotten so crazy up here in the North, in New York, where I live. They're so anti-gun that me, a retired NYPD police sergeant, 27 years of service, exemplary career, stellar career, a clean record in everything. If I go to buy ammo, I have to wait. They have to do a background check for me to buy ammo. And I have not only a carry permit, but I have HR 218, which allows me to carry in the entire nation, every state in this country. So I have both of those. And yet, if I go into a gun store, they have to do a background check on me in order for me to buy ammo. That's the psychosis of the anti-gun lobby. And I know there's a lot of on the other side also, but Just incredible, you know. And so getting back to the point, is there potentially a civil suit against Dick's Pawn Shop for selling Micah that gun without any real checks on her background? Happy. I think something happened during the night that pushed her to feel hopeless and scared. He had something over her head and threatened her. FBI, please look into the church. I think they're going to, Happy. I think you're going to see a deep dive into the records of that church. Heather, whatever, good to see you. I've lived in several places. There was always a shelter for battered women, and police helped me find out about them. Deb C., she'd get the whole video of that store. It shows that someone was following her. He even came in the store. Grizzly True Crimes has the video. I watched that. That doesn't prove anything. He looked a little suspicious, but was he following her? Did they see him go into the park? I mean, you could come up with suspicious stuff and every type of conspiracy theory, but there's no proof that that guy ever went to the park. I saw him on the video. He was just sort of looking around. Was he there looking at her? I don't know. You know, look, I try to go with what appears to be the truth, and I could be wrong, and I've been wrong before. But Becky Bonds, Encyclopedia, that is what I was questioning as well. They either do the investigation themselves or get help from local. However, they seldom turn it over completely. Becky Bonds, what's going to happen is if the FBI actually looks into the suicide, they will start with the investigation conducted by Robeson County. That's where they're going to start, because the crime scene is gone, right? The pictures and the markings and the measurements and the actual photos of the body is all they have. The firearm is all they have, the spent shell. So are there going to be ballistics tests, and have there already been ballistics tests on that firearm to show that the round that was fired into Micah, and we still don't know where it was on her body it was fired, that matches the gun that was recovered on the scene, the spent shell that was recovered on the scene? Does that match the spent shell that was fired from that Sig Sauer, allegedly by Micah Miller? The imprint on the primer, does that match the firing pin on the Sig Sauer? So those are all the investigative details. And will the FBI go over that? I don't know if that's their mission here or not. But FBI will have experts. They will have ballistic experts. They will have crime scene experts. And if that is their mission, to come here and check and go over the work of the Robeson County Police, then I believe we will 100% get to the truth. You know, I question also the family in regards to a lot of these moves they're talking about. They had to make when this was just happened. They waited too long. So it's easy now to throw dirt at the screen, but you had to get on this right away, and they waited too long. You know, there should have been an attorney that represented the family that stopped John Paul Miller from cremating her body. Restraining order, boom, that the time goes by. You can't do it any longer. So they didn't do that. So it's easy to, and again, I know the family's in mourning, but it's easy to complain now and say they didn't do this, they didn't do that. No, but you didn't do what you should have did either.
Out of Myrtle Beach that has grabbed the attention of the nation, the estranged wife of a pastor was found dead in North Carolina last month. Questions about how 30-year-old Micah Miller died came up after her husband, John Paul, announced her death during the end of his sermon on April 28th. He's a minister. Just a day after her body was found and 2 days after he was served divorce papers. In court documents filed yesterday, Micah's family alleged that she feared her husband may do something to her. In an update today, Robeson County deputies said that she died by suicide. They say they have evidence, including a 911 call, to support that decision.
Oh, that was that doesn't leave us. Look, the family, of course, and as I said, I can repeat it again, they're in deep mourning about what occurred here. They don't want to believe that Micah took her own life. And I didn't want to believe it either. I really didn't want to believe it. It's like when you cover these cases, maybe you do start taking sides. And I take sides based on the evidence and based on what I see. Someone was wronged here. And the person wronged was Micah, not John Paul Miller, who just keeps lying and has his attorney make statements, you know, almost threatening statements. If you say anything badly, sure, sure. You know, you don't even have to say anything bad about it. The guy says bad things about himself every day. Daily devotions with Tony Girl. Her dad took pictures of her hand when he viewed her body. There was a bruise where there was a bruise on her hand when she paid for her energy drink. Come on, work with me here. Daily devotions with Tony Girl. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. But again, it's way after the fact. And the other thing to note is that a bruise can only happen when you're alive. Bodies, dead bodies, don't bruise. So just to if anyone was wondering that, that bruise had to have occurred while she was still alive. Let me see, you look in the chat. Jaina Porter, all women are bipolar for 7 days of the month. Creature de Classy magazine, Grizzly is way off. I'm not going to comment on Grizzly's investigative or knowledge about investigations. She's got a successful podcast. That doesn't mean she knows what she's talking about. White Lightning 00, exactly called Robeson County, but it's spelled Robeson. We all say Robinson. I thought I did say Robeson, like Paul Robeson, the singer, songwriter. Love it. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. In this case, Suhaila A. Heather, whatever. No doubt the guy took advantage of her vulnerabilities. I had one who left town to work, but had left alcohol around the house, and I was sober. He wanted to trap me. Hillary Murphy, the PD made a statement that the FBI isn't looking into her death, but into other things J.P. Miller is involved in. How can they just ignore the holes in the investigation? Well, I think the FBI was sent there perhaps because of the outrage by the community. What this guy got away with, his wife. And so if they had a case or an allegation against him, they jumped right on it because people are outraged about what occurred here. And people are insisting that this was not a suicide, that this was a staged crime scene. And if there's evidence of that, I'd like to hear it too. You know, people can say it, but let's see where the evidence is. Creature de Classe magazine. I'm sure there's plenty of evidence on their devices. Micah's best friend already said JP indirectly admitted he was tracking Micah on the day of her death. There's no doubt this guy's a genuine 100% dirtbag, you know, and he didn't learn his lesson because he was never arrested. He needed to be arrested. Arrest change behavior. I can say that. People that get arrested change their behavior because it's not a pleasant experience. White Lightning 00, Lumberton and Fayetteville, people call it Robinson. I don't know why, but we do. So when y'all say Robinson, I'm like, I've been saying it wrong all my life. While yet still today, good to see you. Thanks for doing this live. I popped in on a break, but got to head back to work. Good to see you all here reading chat. While yet still today, I love your moniker there. It's really cool. Daily devotions with Tony Girl. Bill, her dad took pictures of her hand when he viewed her. Oh, I already read that. I'm sorry. Lizzie Herzberger. Bill, thanks for sharing your expertise and years of experience to cover this case. So heartbreaking to hear all these details. Thoughts are definitely with the family. Guys, that's Lizzie Herzberger, who has a book out called Behind the Blue Curtain. I'll put it up in the chat. And she has a... tremendous story of her life herself. And I would advise you to go on Amazon and get her book. I got her. I met Lizzie about, I couldn't believe, I think it was about 2 years ago. And I had her on the show and I read her book. And it was a fascinating book. And it's about some bad secrets happening in the Amish community. And I read the book. I'm not going to give up the whole story. But soon a documentary is coming out on Lizzie Herzberger's life. And so I'd advise you to get the book, Behind Blue Curtains, Lizzie Herzberger. And you can go on Amazon and get the book. So Hala A, Bill, this case is never ending, like 60 cases in one. Father was sex traveler for sure. Yeah, that's what I'm hearing. There's a lot of allegations against this church. And this may be the straw that broke the camel's back. Hopefully we'll find out more. Creature de Classy magazine, the FBI state attorney's office in North Carolina are investigating. North Carolina have no reason to investigate the church. It's her death. Well, Creature de Classy magazine, we don't know that for sure. We don't know specifically why the FBI is here and the state attorney general. So we would all assume they're here to help out with the death investigation, but we don't 100% know. Guys, that's the name of Lizzie Herzberger's book, Behind the Blue Curtain, about her life growing up in the Amish community and some other things that I won't say on here. But if you want to read a very good book, sort of in the same vein as this stuff, that's a great book. Jaina Porter became a YouTube member. Thank you, Jaina, joining the Police Off the Cuff Real Crime Stories family. We're growing. We're getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And today, North Carolina. Tomorrow, the world. I'm just kidding. I just, you know, every once in a while, you have to have some humor in some really tough topics to cover. All right. We're still White Lightning 00. It's wild because Lumberton people have a different accent than us Fayetteville people. I love how they talk. Okay. I wonder if you guys can even understand me when you talk about accents. So, folks, that's our coverage for today. A lot of people are asking questions about this case. And, of course, the family keeps insisting that this is not a self-inflicted gunshot wound, that it was a staged crime scene. And you can understand it, that they don't want to believe this. They don't want to believe that their loved one took her own life. And it seemed as if once she got away from this dirtbag, who you see on the screen, Pastor John Paul Miller, that she had a lot to live for, you know. And he was holding her back. He's like, you know, when you think about what he was doing, he's like a terrorist, you know, like a terrorized this poor woman's life, wouldn't let her go, you know. So we're going to keep following this case and as new things occur. And I want to thank everyone that tuned in this afternoon, this evening, tonight, wherever you are in this world. Thank you so much. I'm Bill Cannon from Police Off the Cuff Real Crime Stories. Have a great rest of your day and God bless everyone. One episode, just ain't enough.